Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening to all of you, my brothers and my sisters, God's children. We say welcome to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and we are here to bring you another exciting episode of Financial Freedom Ain't Free. And so before we go any further, we just want to welcome, as always, a permanent fixture at the PRF table. Her name is Mary Ann Williams. We know her around the table as Mama. Y'all know who she is, too. So, Mama, good evening to you, and just go ahead and get us started. Matter of fact, you can just open us up with a word of prayer, and I'm going to be quiet because you was already there before we got started, so there is no need to stop now. So whatever your heart is leading in that area, Mama, just go ahead and continue for a moment or two, and we'll get back to talking after the Spirit finishes doing whatever is going with you. Amen.
Okay. First of all, I don't want to say good evening to my PRF family, and so glad that you can be with us this evening, and we do appreciate you more than you know. And Father God, we just come before you now with praise and thanksgiving, God, just thanking and praising you for this day, God. We ask you, God, to forgive us for all the sins we have committed, God, because we sinned against you. And we thank and praise you, God, to just create a cleanse us, God, from all unrighteousness. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want you to have your way today, God. I want you to bless everyone, God, that's associated with PRF, God. And we thank you for this show. And you can just say hallelujah. Amen. Hello?
Not for me, Mama, but thank you for praying for everybody. It's something about doing what we're doing on the PR table and making sure that we are able to actually pray for folks. I mean, a lot of times folks, they hear about certain things, Mama. They hear about people are praying for them and people say certain things about what they're doing to pray for them. But we want to make sure that we let everybody know this thing is serious.
Yes.
This thing is really, really serious. And so Vera Moody, she's been with us for the last couple of weeks, and she's going to be on with us again tonight. So we're dealing with Financial Freedom Ain't Free. Dr. Zimmerman, God bless you. We got Dr. Zimmerman, Mama, who's watching us live on Facebook.
Good evening.
See you back. Get your show again. Show again going. So listen, here we are talking about Financial Freedom Ain't Free. And last week, if you remember what we were talking about, who's your community?
Yes.
Who's your family?
Yes.
And who's your neighbor? Those are the three areas that we kind of just wrestled with last week. Who's your community? Who's your neighbor? And who's your family? That's important, because if you don't know and don't recognize, don't understand who is along on a journey with you, you'll oftentimes miss something. I was watching something the other day, Mama, and this doesn't tie into what I just said, but one of the things President Barack Obama said, he was over in South Africa. They were doing a celebration for Nelson Mandela. And he said, without facts, there's no basis for cooperation. Listen to this. Without facts, there's no basis for cooperation. And he says, I don't know where to start talking to you about this. So if we're not dealing with any facts, you have your opinion, I have my opinion, but at the end of the day, we're not coming together on anything. And personally speaking, I really believe that is one of the things that's messing a lot of folks up, especially inside of the church. Is so many folks got their own opinion, and I'm like, can we just, like, you know, can we just ask God? Can we ask God what God is thinking about some of these things? So, Mama, just
yes,
I'm gonna let you just start off.
Okay,
I don't know if I can release it yet. So
okay, well, I just want to make some comments about the show that we had last week, you know, about family and community and your neighbor. And the first thing I want to talk about is honesty and having integrity. When a person knows that they have a problem, the person will remain in bondage if the person doesn't accept totally the responsibility that they need to have a mind change and change their behavior. And they can't change their behavior if they don't change their mind. That person will continue to stay in bondage. And then if that person decides that they do want to change, then they must be committed, of course, and they have to have a mind change and be willing to do the work. Must be willing to do the work. The next area I like to speak on is relationship. When a person goes to all the church functions, but don't associate with any of the members outside the church, the person can't say, this is my church family, because really the person doesn't even know them, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I want to comment on family. Although a person has qualifications for a particular ministry, one of the qualifications is that the person should be operating out of the spirit of love. Timothy told Paul that those who don't care for their household are worse than the unbelievers. The home is out of order. The ministry would be out of order. God is not the author of confusion. And then I'd like to speak on generations. Sometimes we're in bondage because of what our families did. We must identify what was not in place. These issues are passed down spiritually. When we are assisting people in changing their lives, we must realize that these issues that are passed down spiritually, and they are hidden deep down in their hearts. And sometimes, and of course, they don't even know it. And this is why it is so important to operate in love, because people are in bondage and they're hurting and they don't know why. We that are assisting them must operate in unconditional love.
That's good, Mama. That's
good. Thank you.
Good. Where do we go with that, y'all? I mean, did y'all hear what Mama just said? Where do we go from that? Mama, where do we go from that? You said some very profound things, but where do we actually go?
Okay. Well, we should have a desire. We have to have a desire to want to help people.
Right.
And when it was saying love your neighbor. All right, you can see, your neighbor can be someone on the job. It can be someone that I go to Rose's and I speak with the tellers. But if I see that they have a need and I can help them, then that's what I need to do. So this is about sharing. This is about helping people, because we have this knowledge, but some people don't have it. And when we know that they don't have it, then we should be more than willing to take out that time and help that person and help them to grow. Now, if they don't want it, that's a different story. But if I'm talking to someone and they're saying, you know, I'm really interested in that, then I should not. You know, say, well, you know, I don't really have time, or I don't feel good, or whatever. I get with you later. No, you need to let them know that I care about you. You know, people need. I mean, people are hurting, and God say God say that love is love that draw all men to me. So people have to feel that you care about them, you know, not trying to get them to go to church with you, but they feel that love, that love, the unconditional love that's inside of us. So really, this ministry is about helping and helping giving people knowledge. And with that knowledge, they will get wisdom. And then, of course, they get that understanding that they need.
Mama, you messing folk up already. We got Vera Moody on the line. She's on with us on Facebook Live. So listen, one of the things that I hear, Mama, what you're saying is you keyed on one of the three things that we talked about. We talked about who's your community, who's your neighbor, who's your family, and you keyed on the crux of the whole matter. It's about our neighbors. And
yeah.
You know, you may not want to hear this, right? Not you, Mama, but folks is listening. One of the things that Jesus said was, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say love your family.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of deep. It's messing up some theology. I got you. I ain't saying don't care about your family because we know God. But
yes,
you got to understand, he put some emphasis on neighbor, not just once, but twice. We got in two of the Gospels, right? Love your neighbor as yourself and love ye one another. So I'm thinking of that, and I'm like, wow, can we just really be neighborly? Can we be neighborly to each other? And if we'll be neighborly to each other, then there's some things that we can actually do. So Mama, you can go ahead and mute yourself. We got Sister Moody on with us. And welcome once again, Evangelist Moody. How are you this evening?
Good evening to you.
We're good. We're good. So here's where we are. The question, I got a question, and for those who are watching or listening through Blog Talk Radio, if you press one on your dial pad on your phone, then we'll be able to bring you into the conversation and you can be live with us. But if not, those of you who are on Facebook, listen, we want to see your comments. And for those who are not watching on Facebook, if you put your comments on Facebook, then we'll be able to read your comments on the air for those who are just listening to listening to the show. So here's the big question for me tonight. We're talking about financial freedom ain't free. We know it's going to cost some things, right? We're probably going to get into that on the last show about what it's really going to cost if you really want to be free. But tonight, here's the question. And I love, I want some conversation on this. I really want dialogue, right? I want us to push past just having conversation.
Okay.
Here it is, Mom. You ready?
Yes.
We're talking about financial freedom ain't free. And the question before us tonight is, who are you coming out with? Who are you coming out with?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, Brother Dunlap? Just think about the question. Who are you coming out with?
See,
some folk, I guess I got to go straight to the juggler. Some folk will never be free because they're only looking to come out by themselves.
Okay.
And God is not teaching, his teachings are not individualistic, they're communal. All over the Bible, they're communal. And what he's saying in today, what he's saying in 20 years, what he said 20 years ago to other men and women of God who spoke on behalf of God, he's been like, listen, I need y'all to get this together. I don't need you to get it together, Dunlap. Yeah, if you get it together and Vera get it together and Mama get it together, that's a y'all to my southern folk. I need y'all to get it together. Because if y'all get it together, then other folks will see some things. Other folks will see our light shining. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be making some things flavorable. Golly. So that's the question before us. Who are you coming out with? And I want us to be able to really ask that question of ourselves. See, so many people are going through so many things financially. And I said this at the credit and debt management from a biblical perspective workshop on Saturday in Auburn, Alabama. I said, listen, I got to put it out there. You know, I say crazy stuff sometimes, Mama. I put it out there from the rip. Listen, I could care less about your individual credit problems. I can care less. And a couple people looked at me like, dude, what are you talking about? We're here to get credit. No, God just has you in this place. He utilized something that you had a desire to make better But my job, my task, my calling is to help you to see beyond your individual self. And so if the only reason why you want to get your credit straight is so that you can go out there and make more bills and not really think about making more bills, but go out and buy these things that you once wished that you could have, or now you can say, I was at a 400, but now I'm at a 670, and then I'm at a 720, and then I'm at a 850. No, that's what God ain't doing this for you.
Yes.
He's not doing this for me. He's not doing this for me. He's doing this for us. And so many things that he's put out there, he's put out there for us. And so that's my questions. I really would love to have some conversation. In Sister Moody, so I put it out there. We'll let you just take a stab at it from the beginning, and let's keep on going. Who are you coming out with? What does that say to you when we talk about financial freedom ain't free?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Freedom really isn't free. Not when we're talking about a community, you know? I mean, even for oneself, it really isn't free, because when the Lord talks about having a body or a community of people, it consists of that. It consists of yourself and the people that are around you. So ideally, if you're free, it's your job to help someone else to become free so that you can both be free together. So it really isn't free until we're able to free all, you know, everyone who would desire to be free, who can be taught to be free together as a community. So it really costs. I mean, I don't think people gravitate toward that idea, but it truly does cost to be free. I mean, because it's expensive. It's expensive to get free and then to free other people.
That's it.
It's expensive. I'm going to tell you something. It's easy to be wealthy in your own little home and just enjoy your income or your revenue or your business or your empire by yourself. But to actually go out there and help other people, that's going to cost you something. It's really going to cost you something.
So, I guess we may have to shift gears a little bit, and that's okay. So, I want us to think about a scripture. I want us to think about for a moment. I sound like these preachers. A familiar passage of scripture. Jeremiah 29:11, right? Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a hope and an expected end, to give you a hope and a future." And when we talk about freedom, especially financial freedom, that is something that we know people are aspiring to. They may not use the terminology we're using here at PRF. They may not say that. They may not be their prayer. Lord, give me financial freedom. They're like, no, I'll fix these bills. You know, depending on how things are going to be, just straight up with God. And so if that be the case, and we know the plans that God has for us, then the question is, who in the world is helping us to get there? There's a lot of declaring and decreeing that's been going on for years now.
I would agree with that.
A lot of declaring and decreeing. And I'm not going to be one to say what you declared and what you decreed has not been what God has had you to say. But I go back to the book of Genesis. And if you remember anything about something that happened in the book of Genesis with Joseph, right? Remember Pharaoh had the dreams, right? And it was about the seven cows. Seven skinny cows, seven fat cows, and the skinny ones, the ones that were lean, they consumed the ones that were fat. Then there was some grains of wheat or some st- stalks and the lean ones overtook the plump. And nobody could interpret this dream that Pharaoh had. And so then, I'm going to try to turn the mic down because I hear a lot of feedback real quick. And so then he calls upon Joseph. And when he calls upon Joseph, the Lord gives him what the revelation is. And he's like, listen, y'all, that the seven skinny cows represent 7 years of famine. The seven fat cows represent 7 years of prosperity and 7 years of plenty. Now, if when Pharaoh heard that, if he said, okay, now I got the, thank you, now I understand what the dream was about, and nothing else was done. First of all, listen, Joker, you just heard it's going to be 7 years of famine. There's something that you need to do. But thanks be to God that the graciousness of God gave Joseph what he needed to tell Pharaoh. So listen, this is what you do. See, there's always somebody that's not, some of y'all ain't going to like this one. There's always somebody that God has already positioned that's not the number one, that has the solution to some of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
So Pharaoh could have been like, you know what, I am the Pharaoh. I am the Pharaoh. And because I am the Pharaoh, I am the one that everybody listens to. Yeah, he could have taken that attitude, but even Pharaoh listened.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Even Pharaoh listened, right? And
yes.
This is not the same Pharaoh that we get in Exodus, right? That's a different. That was a different Pharaoh before. You know, all over Pharaohs, but this is the Pharaoh before. And so I love how Joseph says, "Listen, this is what we do. We gather up right now, and we take a little bit. Listen to this. We take a little bit off, like 1/5 of everything. It wasn't even 1/10, right? Let's take 1/5 of what we're bringing, what comes in, and let's store it up. And so that when we have these seven fat years, we're good. We're eating. Listen, if they could operate off, if they could afford to give up 20%, I mean, good gracious. I mean, it seems like you should be able to give up 10 today, but that's another story, another conversation. But then they store it up, and if you keep reading, just go back and read in the book of Genesis, right? If you go and read, you'll see that because of what they did now, they prepared themselves for the famine. Now, here's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is the Lord never said your famine's going to be pretty.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty, because it requires even more of a dependency upon God.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, listen, put it up, and then when the famine came around, again, it wasn't pretty. It didn't happen all of a sudden. It's 7 years. It was 7 years of the famine. And so I say all that to say that if we just declare and decree, but we don't put in the work, then what that means is you're not positioned. And so if you want to be financially free, then there has to be somebody speaking the right language.
Right.
And there has to be somebody speaking the right language coming from God about what are some of the steps that we need to take. And if the only thing you're getting, and listen, this is, listen, whatever you're getting on Sunday morning is maybe what you're supposed to be getting. But that's not everything.
Right.
That's not everything. And so if you know you're in a place of financial bondage, but you're not getting anything from Sunday other than I declare and decree you'll be the lender and not the borrower. Okay. Mm-hmm. We see how for some reason that ain't really happened too much in these days. I mean, you'll lend to many nations. Okay. I don't see nobody lend. It's we got to deal with this. And if we don't collectively, all we're doing is saying things, and what's happened is so many people are being left hanging. And that's the challenging part for me. That's the hurtful part for me as a leader in what we're doing here at PRF, is because I continue to see, and others on the team continue to see people being left hanging. We continue to see people getting this carrot dangling in front of their face as if God is going to drop down manna. How many times you read that in the Bible? I don't know. I'm gonna take some water. I'm gonna take some water right now because here's another thing I really want us to think about. We all don't get to the come. We're all not at the same spot. We're all not at the same spot. And what I mean by this, and we were talking about this a little earlier, the children of Israel, right? I mean, because I mean, you think about the Exodus experience, the wilderness experience. You think about the Promised Land experience. We got the ability of reading in the book. And reading how they went from this place to this place and then getting to the next place, we get to read that.
Mm-hmm.
Folk are going to read later about what we're going through right now, just like we reading about what happened in the 70s. We reading mm-hmm. about what happened in the 60s. We reading about what happened 400 years ago when we're reading about stuff. But when you're in the middle of it, there's some stuff that just got to be figured out. It's not this whole notion of we got it all together at PRF, or we got it all figured out, or everybody's personal PRF profile is on 100. Nah, we all got matters that we can do better in, all of us. So that's not the issue. The issue becomes when you look at the children of Israel. They all left Egypt at the same time.
Yes.
They all went into the Promised Land, the ones who were allowed to go into the Promised Land, all those who were under 20 years old except for Joshua and Caleb. And the beauty of it is everybody received the same instruction from God. And so because they received the same instruction from God, it took away, Mama, a whole bunch of, I think this.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, one thing you will never hear me say from the pulpit, go research it for yourself. Why? If God sent me to speak it, why you got to come behind me? It doesn't make sense. Listen, and I promise you, when you start getting into some higher education, you realize you ain't got time to be going behind a professor on everything he or she say. So it speaks to a trust issue. And if there's a trust issue, then I don't know what we're going to do. If you can't trust the individuals who God has placed his wisdom inside of, Mama, as you mentioned, you talked about wisdom. If those who God has placed his wisdom inside of, if you can't listen to them, then that's a problem. Now, if you ain't giving out wisdom, I see why they're not listening to you. But if you're giving the wisdom of God, and you're providing the revelation of God, and it's at the right time, in the right season, man, run with it.
Yes.
Run with it. Run with it. Mama, you got any comments real quick?
Okay, I was thinking about how God, you know, when they were in the wilderness, and although they were being punished, God provided everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that unconditional love comes in. You know, the forgiveness.
Okay.
You know, in the churches, just so much unforgiveness. And a lot of it is just unforgiveness. But, you know, when we look at God, when we think of the wilderness, I think of the children in the wilderness, all their needs were met. I mean, look at the jewelry, look at the clothes, they didn't even have to think about anything, but getting it right in the wilderness. They really didn't have any problems. They had no problems.
I don't know if they didn't have any problems. I tell you, when you sitting up there and you walking and your shoes don't give out, but you're still walking, knowing that you ain't got a Payless shoe store anywhere around it. That may be considered a problem with somebody, but I truly get you.
Yeah.
Get what you're saying.
So here's
where we're going to go. Because our 30-minute show is over, and we keep on going. So here's what I want us to go back to. So remember how I said about Jeremiah 29:11, right?
Yes.
A lot of times people utilize that text to tell you. I wish Blog Talk stopped doing what it's doing. To say, listen, God knows the plan.
Okay.
And I'm not advocating that you don't focus on what God is saying and omit what you're saying. But what I am saying is that at the end of the day, although God knows the plans that he has for you, that's not an excuse not to put certain things in place.
Right. Amen. Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
That's not what we do. And that's not what we do. We want to be at a place where we're positioning ourselves.
Yes.
So if we're talking about financial freedom ain't free, and the question, I'm trying to turn down some of the feedback, and the question before us is, who are you coming out with? If you can't go back to last week's show and think about who your neighbor is, then you may be trying to come out of this thing by yourself. If you go back and you think about the children of Israel, the children of Israel did not, there was nobody coming out by themselves. They came out as a community.
Yes.
Think about it. They came out of bondage as a community, but somebody had to lead them. Here's what we know. A lot of people are going to church, but they're not being led out of poverty. A lot of people are going to church, and they're not being led out of bondage. So listen, I'm going to be fair with this thing tonight. I understand why Pastor Dunlap is unable to lead somebody out of bondage, why I'm unable to lead the congregation out of bondage. It's not because I'm in bondage. I may be in bondage myself as a pastor. That's not the issue. The issue may be that my task is not to lead you out of bondage. My task, my assignment, my call may be on something else.
Yes.
So you can try to follow a fool if you want to. I'm saying that so seriously. You can try to follow somebody who is foolish in their ways. You can try to follow somebody who's foolish with their money and how they handle things and how they're in their aspects of stewardship. You can follow that person all day you want because they have title or position, and you will remain in bondage.
Yes. Amen.
And this is me now. I'm gonna talk about me. I just truly believe that God is like, listen, I don't want you doing that. I don't want you doing that. I want y'all to follow who I'm putting in place to follow. And listen, I'm not saying that I got the answer to everything, but I tell you what I know, and those of y'all who know me know that what I know. And it's working. It's been working, and we believe, God, that it's going to continue to work.
Amen.
So here's what I want everybody to do, and we're not going to be on past 8:45 tonight. I want everybody to go and look at Jeremiah chapter 29. Forget what God said in 29 and 11. Forget that part. Nah, that's too easy. Because, see, you ain't got to learn nothing because you already know it because it's been said so many times. You ain't learning that. You heard it before, most folks. But I want everybody to go to Jeremiah 29. And I want you to think about 29. I said 29, right?
Yes.
I want you to think about, was that the totality of what God had to say to his people? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Listen, here's why I don't like a lot of times when people use the one-liners on folk. Because the one-liners get people excited.
Oh, yeah.
Get them excited. I know the plans I have for you. I get it. And sometimes you need to be encouraged. But you know what's something else that we need? We need context.
Mm-hmm.
We need the full understanding of what God is talking about so that we can say, okay, God, I see what you did. See, when you just quote to folks, I know the plans I have for you, plans are good, not for evil, give you hope and expect it in. What do you do with that? There's nothing else you can do with that except the Lord has a plan. Ain't no action in that. It says, for I know the plans I have for you. That requires nothing on your part. Nothing. You don't have to do anything. So, yes, you received it. Now hear what I'm saying. Now can we go to the next level? And the only way you can go to the next level, and especially talking to God about this thing, is to say, okay, hold on. Was there anything else to the conversation? So when I look at this, it says, and this go back to verse 10. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. But then I will come and do for you all the things I have promised, the good things I promised. And I will bring you home again. So here's the question. If we talk about financial freedom ain't free, you got to really wrestle with this one now. We're talking about financial freedom ain't free. And if you're in financial bondage, the question before us, where are you going back to? Some folk only know bondage, Vera. Some folk, see, just like with them, remember, they were there for 70 years. Only people 20 years and below were going in. So if they were in the wilderness for 39 years, then that means there's some people who never experienced bondage that went into the promised land. But you know what they did experience? They did experience the wilderness experience because they were born in the wilderness. They grew up in the wilderness. They're only 20 years old. They were already outside of Egypt. 15 years had already passed. So if you don't know anything other than bondage, listen, we can't talk to you the same way that I talk to somebody who's only in the wilderness.
Yes.
Those old heads, the ones that came out of Egypt, they have a whole different experience than those individuals who's only 18 years old, 15 years old, 12 years old. And so the challenge for us as we really deal with financial freedom ain't free, and I'm going to stop talking in a minute, is recognizing that everybody is not at the same spot. Everybody's not at the same pace. You have folks with different levels of debt. Listen, for somebody, There was somebody on one of our dialogical exercises that we do in our learning sessions. One person said on Saturday, paying off, because I said, what do you want? I said, what do you want? What are you trying to gain? What are you trying to get from being here? And one person wrote down, paying off my small credit card, $500. Listen, I can say, that ain't a lot. That's Dunlap saying that. That's not a lot. But here it is. Watch this. It is a lot when you're making $7 to $8 an hour.
Yeah.
It is a lot when your doggone interest rate is 26%.
Yeah.
It is a lot when your balance is $499 and you know that when the finance charges, it puts you over the limit. So now you have finance charges and you have an over limit fee. So it is a lot to some folks. And we have to be willing to recognize that everybody's not at the same spot. Now, there's some folk that their debt is 3,000 times the amount of this $500 debt. So we can't talk to that person the same way we talk to the person with the $500 debt. Here's what I can do. I can help you real easy get out of $500 worth of debt. But if you got $25,000, listen, I just can't go pull that for you. I can't do that. I just can't do that. But you know what? Collectively, could we do it? That's my thing. If we want to focus on the collective and focus on the totality of what God has said in his word, then we have to put some things in place, even if it's going against the grain, even if it's going against your religiosity, even if it's something that your denomination is like, that's not what we do. Okay, but they're not coming to your aid when you need the real help. So I want you just to go back to the beginning verses of Jeremiah 29. And I just want y'all to focus on the things that God said for his people to do while they were in Babylonian captivity.
Yes.
I don't know if you have it, but when you go and look at what he says in verses 4 through 7, I'm telling you, as God is my witness, that's the key. We want some financial freedom. That's the key. See, the key is you can't wait until you get out and then start doing. You got to do some stuff right now.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, listen, when you are the one that's in the bondage, you can say all day long, well, Dr. Dudley, you have no idea. You're right. I have no idea what you're going through. So let's bring this thing in. Let's do like they do on football teams. Let's bring this thing into a huddle. Let's do like they do on the basketball teams, on the college basketball, when they sitting and stuff getting a little tight and it's coming down to the wire and it's like it's either you make the shot or you don't. They sit there on the bench like this, all interlocking arms. And they're interlocking arms because they're connected as a team.
Yeah.
When you're playing football, you're on the field, they're huddling up trying to figure out, okay, what's the next play? Everybody can't call all the doggone shots. That's
right.
The truth of the matter is. So
mm-hmm.
when you look at verses 4 through 11 in Jeremiah 29, God says, listen, when I take you into that place, some folk, I have to say it like this, some folk were born into poverty. So how can I help you understand and how can I give you encouragement that you can get out of poverty when you have no example to go on except for what's around you?
Absolutely. Generational person, right?
You've never seen anything, so therefore, then your mindset becomes those things which you see on television, which oftentimes are not true. You see people balling on television, but let me tell you something. A lot of the people you see balling on television are the same people you see filing for bankruptcy, same folks you see committing suicide, same folks you see marriages broken up, and I'm talking about nasty type of things. So let's deal with this thing. Let's deal with this thing in the most loving manner that we possibly can. And all I'm advocating for, and I'm going to shut up. I said I was going to shut up 20 minutes ago.
Okay. all
I'm advocating for is that if we're going to deal with this thing and we're going to really focus on financial freedom, we have to do this thing together, which means going into what we're going to talk about next week, Evangelist Moody, it's going to cost you something. See, it costs this person who wrote down, I want to pay off my small credit card of $500. So you know what? I say this. Can we come together? And I have to say just those of us in PRS. Can we come together to scrape up $500 for this one person to be financially free? Can we really do that? Can some of us who can afford to give $200, I ain't talking about the PRF, but to give $200 for one of our sisters to be financially free. Because, see, this person didn't say how much the interest rate was. This person didn't say anything about anything else. Just, you know what, here's my debt, and I need to get up from up under this rock. We got churches that's bringing in tens of thousands of dollars and $100,000 a freaking month. And we got a person in the church that's like, I need help with a $500 credit card bill. Are you serious? Sister Moody, I'm going to be quiet. I'm quiet. You've been quiet, so I'm going to be quiet and let you go.
I don't think rushing the program is the answer. But one of the things that I realized is that you said that a person needed $500 to be financially free from that debt, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand, first and foremost, why we're even in the debt. Now, you did talk about emulating things that come through television, even seeing things in regards to our surrounding and upbringing.
Right.
So one of the freedom that you're going to have to pay for in order to be free is to learn to get wisdom. Because wisdom is the principal thing, as the Lord says, and it's all you're getting, get understanding.
Right.
So we have to understand why we are in debt in the first place. That's number one. If we're just supernaturally delivered out of debt, more than likely we'll be in debt again. I believe my how to live modestly and how to live wisely in order to not be the child in financial distress and financial debt. Because it'll become a cycle. We can get someone delivered out of $500, and then 2 months later we have to do it again. Then 2 months later we have to do it again. And I've seen that cycle. I have witnessed that cycle in some friendships and family members. So we have to understand it's going to take us truly learning and understanding money, understanding why we do some of the things we do, why we shouldn't do some of the things that we do. So I kind of think of that concept as well when we talk about financial freedom isn't free, because sometimes we do receive miraculous blessings. I just even declared that today because I was led by the Holy Spirit to say that. But people that know me know that I strongly believe in teaching. I strongly believe in preparing. I believe in preparation. I believe in learning. I believe in that wholeheartedly. You know, we have to take into consideration the idea of learning how to save. And then, you know, saving every single week or every single paycheck. How to put away, let's say you live by the 10, 20, 70 rule. Put away 10%, 5% for yourself, 5% for emergency funds. Until we can actually make that a practice, more than likely we're going to always need to be freed by something.
So watch this. So the sister with the $500 debt, right,
mm-hmm.
is looming over her head.
Right.
Is looming over her household. And so she can't afford to put away the 5%. She can't afford to put away the 10%. And so then I say, well, if we love our brothers and our sisters as we say we love our brothers and our sisters, then we should be one of the ones that's saying, you know what, let's this thing that's looming over her head. Because now if we help you with that $500 debt, now are you now positioned to be able to save? You may not be able to save $500, but maybe you can put away $10 or maybe it's $50. So we have to try these things that we know could actually work, but you got to listen to somebody that believes in this.
Like you said, yeah. Someone has to be out of it.
It's good.
Yeah.
The church, the community has to wake up, because we do decree and declare all day. And I'm sorry, Dr. Dunlap, you and I were in the same space today in terms of thought, because so many people strongly believe in that and those declarations. And nothing is materializing. But I say this. I say, what I decree and declare, I become the past. Why? Well, my ways please the Lord. Somewhere in this walk is how my ways please Him, because He continues to manifest the things that I declare and I decree. But I'm only led by the Holy Spirit to decree and declare. I'm not just wishing. I'm not wishing out here. I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not wishing. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me and I decree and declare something, it's because He declares that for me. But with that being said, I have to put into practice the principles, the teachings, and the doctrines that have been laid before me. I can't just go blindly into things.
So watch this.
I want to give you this one experience.
Okay.
I'll never forget the Spirit of God saying to me, He said to me, you know, this is led away by other gods.
Mm.
He said, the things that I taught you when you were growing up, you no longer do, because you have followed other gods that have been introduced to you by other people. So it used to be this big thing for me. Whenever we purchased a house, I would go out and buy furniture. It didn't matter if I moved 2 years prior. I would go out and buy a house full of new furniture because I was in a new house. And I had to have new furniture. As a matter of fact, I bought new furniture probably it was just like a normal thing. It's just like I always bought clothing and I always bought jewelry. I mean, it was just a practice. And the Lord said to me, where did you learn that? Well, the question was posed, where did you learn that from? And I called back and said, you learned that from following other gods, because that's not the way I taught you. So we're led astray, exactly as you said, by what we see. And if we don't get back to our God who is more than enough, or we're not. desire of our woman, you know, our desire and our appetite, then we're going to always be in debt. We're going to always be chasing after them. So those things don't impress me anymore. So it's harder for me to get into debt now because my money stays with me longer. Because I'm not out there trying to spend it, trying to impress anyone, not even myself.
So being led away from other gods. So the same way people put a lot of stock in the declaring and decreeing, maybe, and I'm saying maybe, but I'm right in this, I know, maybe there's a need to get before God, and maybe before God and man, right, and be able to say, listen, here's some of the reasons why I'm in the situation that I'm in. And so, and again, we have to be careful because some people, you talked about you got away, but some folks never been. That's all that they know. And so I can't talk to you who has some type of foundation to the person that ain't never had foundation. The truth of the matter is I personally like dealing with folks that ain't never got a foundation. You know why? Because there's less crap that I got to help transform their mind in because they don't have all this stuff that's been built up over the years. I personally like those type of folk because it's easier, but that ain't what God always sending us. He's sending us some other folks as well in the same respect. And so it's going to take people actually being it's going to take some people being honest, Mama. Truly being honest, saying, listen, this is where I'm at. And you have to have a place that's safe. If you don't have a place that's safe, if you don't have ministers and leaders who are safe enough to be able to say, listen, this is what I'm going through, and not just get the one-liners, it's going to be okay, trust God. You sitting there with $1,000 in your pocket. I need $200, and you sitting there with $1,000 in your pocket. Nobody knows you got $1,000 in your pocket, but you.
Right.
And then we wonder why. We don't wonder why, but it's not hard to understand why there's so many people that are utilizing these various devices, if you will, like payday loans and title pawns and loan sharks, like we talked about. There's no reason. It's understandable why people are in those things. And once they get in those things, listen, somebody wants to help get out of debt, but yet they don't have the right connection. And so because they don't have the right connection, they utilize something else that gives them that temporary relief. But in the long term, it puts them further and further in bondage. And so we can't play both sides of the fence. We have to say, listen, if you're my neighbor, if I love you, we're my church member, you're my family, what are we going to do about this? But at the end of the day, yes, you have to be truly, truly honest with other folks.
Yes.
You can't start saying, listen, let me tell you, man, let me tell you what happened, bro. You know, I got laid off my job, man, and here I am right now. Okay, I hear you. But you can't tell me after I start working on some stuff with you 3 weeks down the line, you know, I got off my job because I was smoking weed. Dude, we need to deal with that. You should have acknowledged that from the beginning, because here I am trying to get you some jobs, and we stay in your system for 30 days. What the heck am I wasting my time for? So therefore, you deserve to be in that place of bondage for them 30 days until you get that mess out your system. And once you get that mess out your system, then you can go apply because, again, watch this. Positioning is everything. I help you to get a job and they say, you know what, come tomorrow for an interview. And then while you're at the interview, you know what, I like you, Mr. Dunlap. Can you take a urine test? Everything that I done did, everything that I've done to help you in that situation is now for naught.
Yes.
So the truth of the matter is you have to be positioned. And if you're not positioned and you need help, I don't know why I said that. If you need help with getting positioned, then here's what I say to you. You got to ask for the help. And the truth of the matter is the help does not always come from the place you're going to worship on Sunday.
Yes.
Most churches are only open on once or twice a week. Some are not even open five times. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4. I see. Some are open 8 times a month. I know plenty of them. The only time the church doors are open to the people is 8 times a month. You ain't going to get all this in a place only open 8 times a month. You're just not going to get it. But here's whose doors are always open. The payday loan place is open good 5 days a week, easy. The title farm place, they open at least 5 days a week, easy. And guess what else is open? The internet is never closed. So you can apply for stuff all the time, and you can do it secluding in your own little bubble. And God is like, no, I don't need you to do that. But the reality is, what's the alternative? What is the alternative that has been placed before God's people? There should not be an alternative. That should not be the alternative. And so, listen, I got one more thing to say. Like Tommy said, I got one more thing to say. Are you listening?
Yes.
The children of Israel. I love how God dealt with them. And we should be able to see some patterns. God took them out of bondage in Egypt. He takes them into the wilderness. They're there for 39 years, 10 months. Takes them over into the promised land. But all that God gave to his children over a 39-year period of being in the wilderness, them jokers, man, them cats was ready once they got in the promised land. So God, look at the model. Look at the model. Look how God so intricately gave them so much while they were in this place that didn't feel good. It didn't feel good to be in the wilderness, just like it don't feel good when we're in the wilderness. I get it. But God was like, listen, I love y'all so much. I'm going to teach y'all what y'all need. So when I take you to the place where I want you to be, man, y'all going to have it so good. Y'all ain't got to worry about nothing. Even y'all Levites, who ain't got no inheritance to the land, y'all don't have no allotment, y'all ain't got to worry about nothing either. I got some pieces that I'm going to make sure y'all get too. So he taught them over a long period of time so that they could be successful when they got there. The church model is backwards. This is a rant right now. This is a rant. We wait till people come into the church. Here's why. Listen, here's where some of the problem is. We wait until folks come into church. I keep telling you as your pastor, Vera, invite some folk. Invite your family members. Bring them into the house. You know when they say, bring them in the house. You know they're in a different religion. Bring them in the house. Bring them in the house. So we wait until they get into the house, and people have an expectation that they're going to learn something in the house, but then they don't get what they need in the house. I ain't talking about some of the spiritual truths that's out there. I'm talking about some of the stuff that's dealing with their situation. I'm going, if you're having marital problems and you say, come over here, folks crying, snotting all at the altar because their husband doing this or their wife doing this, and then they get there, they accept Christ as their Savior, and now they're like, okay, I know I'm going to get some help with this. Listen, I ain't got time to counsel 200 folk. Talking about 100 couples. I ain't got time to do that as a pastor. I ain't got time to counsel 20 of them. But yet people are looking for that. So how about this? How about flip the model? This is, I'm telling you, it'll work. Flip the model. If the church offered, and I say the church, if many churches offered the stuff that we've been talking about through PRS, and you offered it, and you say, you don't have to be a member of this church. We're doing it for you as the community, and you as the church, people in the church, we want y'all to come, but we want the people in the community to come. I'm not going to try to get you to join the church. I'm not going to try to get you to accept Jesus Christ. I'm not going to have a doggone worship service for 30 minutes when you came to get some doggone help and some teaching. I ain't going to do none of that. We're just going to come, and we're going to help in this area.
Amen.
Don't you know that when folks decided to give their life to Christ, Mama? Can you just imagine how much more equipped they will be as a soldier in his army?
Yes.
So, people are at different levels. If you don't have anything to deal with the different levels of where people are, especially when it comes to their poverty, especially when it comes to, listen, poverty is one thing. Credit and debt is another. Credit is one thing. Some folks are in poverty. Don't have nothing. I know plenty of folks in poverty, Mama, that don't have any debt. Plenty of folks are in poverty that don't have any debt. So being debt is not the condition of poverty. It could be, but it's not. So we can't have these assumptions of why people are in the situation that they're in. We have to be willing to say, listen, let's try to find out about you and what's going on with you. Because if you don't have these conversations with folks, if you don't do assessments, you're only putting out things that you believe is the root cause of the problem. Truth of the matter is, a lot of the situations going on with a lot of individuals within the body of Christ has nothing to do with what these jokers is doing up in Washington. Zero. It's a lack of what the body of Christ has done. You can't tell me the guy that says that we have that we have all of these spiritual gifts that Jesus Christ has sent to the church, but we got all these problems. No, we got folks that's not positioned. Listen, if you want to talk about health care, you know my conversation when we talk about health care? Because, see, we have a show, right? It's called Your Health is Your Wealth. Kimberly Silas, she has on the first and third Fridays here on the same station. We could talk about the need for health care, right? We could talk about the need for health insurance. We could talk about all those things. But, see, I'm just crazy enough to believe something, Mama. I'm like, hold on. I believe when I read in the book, one of the things that Jesus did was he healed folk. I believe I read that some places. I believe that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that Paul talked about, brothers, listen, I can't have you ignorant.
Yes.
I can't have you ignorant, right, about spiritual gifts. So therefore, if there's these spiritual gifts that's out there and we believe in them, then why are we spending, why are so many folks spending so much time trying to deal with some of these things of health care when we got the people of God? God has placed the Spirit of God, placed His Spirit in the spiritual gift, the gift of healing in so many people. Listen, why not? Why aren't we searching out those individuals? I think I said this before on a previous show. I know an individual who has the gift of healing. I know this person has the gift of healing. Being in operation, I know it, I know it, I know it. But you know, down the street, around the corner, next door, all the other churches, they're not seeking out a person who has the gift of healing. So therefore, let's pray about it.
Yeah.
Let's help such and such with their medical bill. God is like, listen, I placed something that is a whole lot more powerful than being able to get a medical bill covered. I placed the gift of healing among you. Now, it's our fault. Again, it's about positioning. If I as a pastor don't have no conversation or no dialogue with other pastors in my community, say, hey, Pastor Mama or Pastor Jones, is there anybody who has been identified in your congregation, Demetria, who has the gift of healing? If I'm not asking these questions, then what means is I'm being silly because I'm waiting and expecting everything to come inside of my house. And the truth of the matter is, God ain't placed everything in every house. And so if we're going to do this thing like the body is supposed to be doing it, then listen, you may have a powerful teacher like Vera Moody in your congregation on a particular area, but you ain't got that in the next church around the corner. So it only makes sense that people around the corner should be trying to connect with this church around the corner who has the powerful teaching where Vera Moody is. And if we start thinking like that, some of this stuff that we're talking about, trying to get out of poverty, how do we help be financially free? We could be so far advanced. Because there's some churches that are doing good, but they don't get the attention that they deserve because it's too many broke churches, because it's too many broke pastors, because it's too many broke ministers, because it's too many broke people. And I say broke, I'm talking about they're broken spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and financially. And so all of those things, Chapman Richardson, all of those things play in to this whole. It plays into who you are. It plays into how we engage with other folks. It plays into how we actually minister to other folks. And so we have to do something about it. But here's my last thing. I think I'm done. I'm not looking for a million folks. I'm only looking for the rim. That's it. That's what I'm looking for. That's who I ask God to send. I don't ask God to send 20. I did that. It ain't worked. All that declaring decree. No, it didn't work. It wasn't what was supposed to been. It wasn't what we were supposed to be having at that particular time. I'm asking God, listen, God, show me the remedy. Show me the folks. And I had some conversation with some folks today. It was like, listen, I'm ready. let's do it. I'm like, God, you are really coming through with this. Yeah, see, I didn't declare and decree that we get more facilitators to start up what we're going to start up in the fall. I had to pick up the phone and call some folks. And then, oh my goodness, watch this. Once we put it out in about a month about what we need and how you can be a part, it's a wrap. I already know. It's a wrap. They will come because of what we're going to be offering. So,
yes, uh-huh.
So listen, Mama, if you got any final comments, Sister Moody, you know, we can go on for hours, but I'm going to turn it over to y'all. And I don't know. I guess I'm going to eat some dinner or something tonight. I don't know.
Well, no, so, I don't have a comment.
I got you. So the question again is, who are you coming out with? If you haven't identified who you're coming out with, the question is, what are y'all doing? Y'all planning on staying there? I think you really need to ask the question about who's around us. And I got to encourage folk. There's some of us. Listen, I got debt, too. Listen, I'm not drowning in debt. I got some bills that I'm not going to say I wish were gone, but I would like for them to be gone. But if I want them to be gone, I got to do some things, right, in order for them to be gone. But I'm not stressing out about them as long as I'm able to pay my bills every month, right, as long as I'm able to pay extra from time to time. If I got a plan of how long this thing is going to take out, is going to play out, I got that. So the question is, who are we coming out with? Can some of us collectively, can some of us get together and come out of financial bondage? One person that has $500 worth of debt. Sister here, we're going to deal with this. I promise you, we're going to deal with this. Another person that has $2,000 worth of debt. Another person that may have $3,000 worth of debt. Can we all come out of that? I believe we can. But the question is, instead of saying Lord has a plan for us, then maybe we need to put our hands to the plow. Maybe we just need to have some conversations. Maybe we need to put something down on paper to be able to say, listen, we put this thing down on paper, and then we say, God, bless this. Bless our hands. Bless our minds. Put God before it, because if you do all that, faith without works is dead. So we can have all the faith in the world that it's going to work, but if we ain't putting no works with our faith, then what are we really doing?
Right.
And here's how I know that so many people don't, that they truly believe that. Because any pastor that get up in the pulpit, any pastor gets up in the pulpit, is not going to want to hear, it's offering time, and if everybody decided not to give, they say, just trust God. Yeah, it'd be crickets, just like you just heard. What in the world? Now we're being rebellious. Now we're not trusting God. Hold on, you're keeping it? No, you trust God. Trust God like you're telling us to trust God. And see, when folk get crazy and start thinking like that or verbalizing it because they're already thinking it, we know they're thinking it because 8 to 12 or 13% of the people are the ones that's financing or funneling most of the money in the church, including the leader. So we know there's a 80-something percent of the people in the church are not the ones that's really, really helping everything to keep going. We know this. Got to care about those individuals. You care about those individuals that can't do. You care about the individuals that don't have it like that. When you start doing stuff like that, God sees that. And you can't tell me no different. God sees it. When God sees stuff like that and see that we're moving in a different direction, oh, my God. We're the examples. So, my last thing, I keep saying it, but my last thing is this. Who are we coming out with? We're going to come out with the remnant. We're going to come out with the remnant. The remnant is those individuals that are willing to do the work. If you're trying to be financially free, you have an organization that's sitting here saying, listen, we will help you. I'm not going to put a limitation on God. Don't you know one person can change your life forever?
Amen.
But if you're trying to do it by yourself, you ain't doing it. You can't change your life forever. I don't care how hard you get out here. I don't care if you work 90 hours a week. It ain't happening. We know folk working 2 and 3 jobs. It ain't happening. Folk living off of overtime money. Stop it. If you ain't got plan for the overtime money, you should be saving the overtime money. But if you just, listen, folks doing crazy stuff, got to stop it. You spoke to that. So I want folks to understand that we're in different levels. People are at different levels. People have different debt levels. And because of all these variances, we have to do something that's going to be able to get to all these individuals in these different areas. I told somebody this, and somebody asked me. I said, I'm going to start a money church. And all we're going to do is deal with money stuff. That's going to be the church. I don't have to be a pastor. I'm being real funny right now. But I can just imagine having a church where all we deal with, our whole existence is to deal with financial stuff and to talk about financial. We can't really do this on Sunday. We know that. And truth of the matter is, when I start talking, if I was your pastor, when I start talking about prosperity and God's going to bless you, but then at the same time I ask you to give an offering and you ain't got no money saved up and you ain't got enough money to pay your bills, that's a mixed message. Something wrong with that picture, Mama. So who are you coming out with? We should be coming out with the remnant. You got to identify who the remnant are. And the folks that are the remnant are the ones that when opportunities come, say, listen, I need some help. When the opportunities come, say, listen, I want to get out of debt. Listen, when the opportunities come, can you help me? See, the beauty of it, that young lady who spoke up on this card, and we didn't have her put it out in front of everybody, but this person has no idea what's about to happen. No idea, Vera. We're going to deal with this. It's $500. It ain't for me. It ain't for show. It's because we care enough about people that we want to see whatever this thing is looming over her head, we want to see it get out. Because once she's free in that area, don't you know it'll be freeing in another area?
Absolutely.
So next week we're going to deal with the cost. We're going to deal with the cost. What does it truly, truly cost if you want to be financially free? You know, I said this on a couple broadcasts ago. Harriet Tubman is attributed to Harriet Tubman, said, I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if they knew they were slaves. If you don't think that it costs to be free, you're not free. You're not free. And there's too many folks sitting in our churches that are not free. They're working every day, and they're not free. They got nice homes they're living in. They're not free. I get tired of seeing my pastor friends stressing out about money in the church. How about let's do something about it? But it can't happen like you want it to happen because you ain't got it. That's why you're stressing out. That's why you're stressing out. You don't need to. God has already placed what is needed. It's in the kingdom, and a lot of times it's even within our own region. You know what? It was funny. Not funny. This is sad. Folks that have cancer, they go to cancer treatment centers. They go to a place that specializes in the area of where they need their healing. You don't go when you have a broken foot to a dentist. Sister Tucker, listen, you don't go when you got a broken foot to a dentist, right? You're looking for a foot doctor, right? Podiatrist, if I'm saying it right. That's who you, or you go into the emergency room, right? All of them are doctors. All of them have medical training. But listen, man, all you do is fool with teeth. What you know about feet bones? if I broke my foot when I sprained my ankle years ago playing basketball, if I would have went to the dentist and they said, well, Mr. Dunlap, what are you here for? You don't have an appointment, Mr. Dunlap. And I'm all like, yeah, I know, but I sprained my ankle. Don't you know how crazy they gonna look at me? Now, Ms. Dunlap, we know you're intelligent. We know you're a doctor, but are you trying to get you trying to get a cleaning? Or are you trying to schedule an appointment? They gonna be figuring out why the heck am I here? Because I sprained my ankle and I'm at my dentist. listen, Pastor Inslee, this is a lot of what has been happening within a lot of churches. And the truth of the matter is, let's take this thing a little one step further. In a hospital has multiple medical professionals inside of it. The world has a lock on how things are supposed to happen. And the church continues to lag behind so often. And God is like, listen, you don't have to do that no more. If you don't got no experience in finances, call on Dr. Dunlap. If you ain't got no, and I'm speaking in good doctor, and if you ain't got no life insurance and you doggone know it, call on Vera Moody. If you ain't got this, call on Kathy if you don't have a widow. If you're a man that needs encouragement, call on Mark. But listen, you go into a church, y'all got 20 people, and you think that the one pastor is going to be able to deal with your marriage, your finances, your children. It can't happen. And so and so, a lot of people have started, and listen, I'm just giving you what I know. A lot of people have started migrating away from the church. And especially in the black church, a lot of them have migrated to, quote, unquote, the white church. Don't get mad, player. Don't get mad. The fact of the matter is people need what they need. And they know what they need. Our thing as leaders, religious leaders, our task is to provide people with the access to where they need to go. Listen, somebody comes into my church and they say, listen, I need help with a light bill. I send them to a food bank. I send them to a food bank because I know the food bank provides some type of help, but that's not the type of help that they need. I'll share this with you. I'm going to share it with you. Pastors, I'm coming for y'all. I'm about to send out some of our financial ministry needs assessments. So we've been working on some stuff to a lot of pastors. And here's my request. Let us do the assessments. Now, we do the assessment, we can go from there. We do the assessment and find out, oh, my goodness, this is why people are not doing certain things. Or this is where people need the help. Now, it's only one or two ways. And I promise you, I pray, somebody else may need to pray this too. I pray that you respond the right way, pastors. I'm telling you. Because when I come to you and I say, listen, you really need to get this assessment done. Here's the assessment. It's on this area, it's on that area, it's on that area. But see, I know a lot of stuff already. So I'm not going to come to you, Pastor Enzi, I'm not going to come to you and say, I know 12-year-old members that just got laid off, and they've been laid off for about 2 months. And unemployment is not going to last that long because they went from making $900 a week to $300 a week, and they still ain't got a job yet. I can't come to you. I'm not going to come to you with that. But when I come to you and start talking about these assessments, these FMNAs, I hope you respond in kind. Now, here's the thing. First thing is, once we do the assessments, you got to want to have the courage to be able to deal with the results. So the results is going to show how many people don't have life insurance in your congregation if we did that FMNA on will you not. The results are going to show how many people don't have advanced directives in your congregation and most of your folks 60 and up. Really? So then it's going to take another step of how do we get people what they need after that. I don't need no pastor to stop doing what they're doing. I just need you to get on board. That's it. I said that, but I really believe that God needs folks to get on board. You do your part, watch God do the rest. We do our natural, watch him do the super. Folks want God to do the super and the natural. Come on, man, that's too much. How many times did he send manna down from heaven in the Bible? He ain't doing a lot. I think I know of one instance. So he's not going to keep doing certain things that we have the ability to do. That's not what I'm observing that God is doing. Now, you may have a different, y'all may get manna down in your church, I don't know, but that's not what's happening where I'm at. Sister Moody, what you got? What you got? What you got?
Mm-hmm. Because everyone hasn't gotten it, like you said, everyone hasn't gotten into this
Mm-hmm.
The more I have seen God do supernatural things in my life, honestly, and I believe it wholeheartedly. But nonetheless, even with him moving supernaturally in my life, there was a responsibility that I needed to take on.
Exactly.
That's the truth. So that I can hold on to the things that he had given me miraculously.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, let me just say this. Something that the Spirit of God gave me tonight was entertainment. The devil has entertained us right into this crazy place where we don't put in the time to want to get out or to work our way out of this. See, we'll sit back and we'll watch a NFL show for what? It's about 2-3 hours?
Yep.
Well, we won't sit down and get any information for an hour. So the remnant is going to consist of people that really, truly desire to do the work. When God can see that in their heart, then he can move miraculously. Like, he'll move miraculously. This is, that's a miraculous move to be able to get that young lady out of that $500 debt.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a miraculous move.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But if we don't put in the time, if we're not willing to truly work, you can't, to whom much is given, much is asked of you. But you got to be faithful over the little first before much can even be given to you.
Stop. I want y'all to see this because I just turned there. I was like, when she stopped, I'm going to go. Go ahead.
That's what the Spirit of God gave me today. He said, we got to be faithful over little in order to be a ruler over much. And we have to obtain wisdom because it's the thing that's going to continue to have us being added on and multiplying.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you something. They can hate me. I don't care. I know when I decree a thing, I know the Spirit of God will bring that thing to pass. I'm sorry. When all of that overzealous decree and declaring, it's not going to get you anywhere. It hasn't gotten anyone anywhere in 10 years. It's not going to get anyone in the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just not going to happen. And that's from that entertainment. We've been entertained. The enemy has entertained us into this place where we just think we can just decree and declare and get out of it. It's really not going to happen because it's just entertainment. Entertainment costs. The soul is financial freedom. And I can tell you, I can only go back for my own with my own experience that we slipped up from becoming a millionaire or a billionaire. I can say a billionaire. We slipped up on that. That just happened by chicken. By buying the proper property, right? But the management required the work. And because the work wasn't put in place, the million left. So I had to learn to work. I had to learn to work the principles. I had to learn to work wisdom in order for the Lord to allow for me to even manage his things all over again. And I think where we lack today is because collectively we don't want to do the work. And that's work, Dr. Dunlap, to go into a church such as myself. I go and I sit before a person and I take an assessment. And I tell them exactly what they need. I know what they have. I know what they don't have.
Mm.
And so once I find out what they don't have and when I see that they're upside down, like they're in a car and they're upside down, I tell them, you're going to be in this debt. You're going to be in a strain for a long time. And so we start manipulating numbers and manipulating figures so that more money can come into their household in order to allow for them to get out of that debt. So it's going to require work. And one of the things that I say is, if you're not willing to work, I can't get you out of debt. I can't improve your finances, your family situation, and there will be no legacy for you.
Can I share something with you? I know that a lot of what I bring to people is radical. Jesus spitting on the ground and putting some mud on his cat's eyes,
radical.
Jesus lifting up a man who had been who had been lame for 38 years at the gate called Beautiful, radical. Mm-hmm. Jesus telling them jokers, y'all complain about what I'm doing on the Sabbath. If your ox fell down in a hole, wouldn't you pick it out? Radical. Standing up to religious leaders. So I don't care what folks say about the radical because Jesus was radical. So if you are a disciple, you could be a Christian, not be a disciple. But if you're a disciple and you're learning the things of Christ, there should be some radicalness to you. I say all that to say there's some things that we can do. And when the fall is coming. Fall, come out the season. The season of fall is coming. There's some things that people are going to start seeing through PRF. And just watch this. You talked about the person who was upside down in the car. First of all, they know they were upside down in the car. They know when they traded in the last one, the person said, we're going to take this $5,000 that you owe, and we're going to put it on top of this new car. So instead of your payment being $200 a month and your bill only being $20,000, now it's going to be about $400 a month, right? We know that. You know how easy it is? See, it's all about the remnant. That person, whoever that person was, do you know how fast we could have got that person out of debt?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you one example because we got a bunch of them. If we put out across the Christian spectrum, all of these churches, it's like 13 churches on one street before you get to my house or, you know, going to so one main road by my house, like 13 churches. Can you imagine that one person that you just talked about and we put it out to every church in our community, and this is not even my whole community, it's just on that one stretch of lane, one highway. We put that out to all 13 churches, say, listen, there is somebody that needs to sell their car. Here is the price. How fast do you think we can sell that? We never know how fast we can sell it because we... because we're freaking collectively too ignorant. We're too ignorant to try things that's going to get you out of your comfort zone and out of your religiosity. So we got all these churches in my community. I need to sell my car because I really can't afford this car note anymore. So if we put it out to every church and say, listen, Brother Dunlap really needs to sell this car. Don't you know that there's somebody in the congregation looking to buy a car?
Absolutely.
Now watch this. If my car is in good, I ain't talking about no crazy stuff, right? No junk or nothing, right? But the car is in good condition. And I'm your brother in Christ, then I should be honest about if there's anything going on with that vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I should really be honest and say, listen, this thing is breaking me over my back. So I really need to get from up out of this. Don't you know if we did that with cars? If we did it with cars, then maybe people with houses can do that with houses. I heard on the radio the other day, there was somebody in a community. And see, this, I'm telling you, there's folks that are doing these things. I'm not inventing all this stuff. God just has